Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Our guest today has done something I've been looking for in a guest on this podcast for a long time. He helps beginning copywriters get started and become successful. Matthew Volkin is a coach, copywriter, marketer, and entrepreneur. He doesn't just talk the talk, he walks the walk. Matt has helped dozens of business coaches rapidly grow their own businesses with email marketing. And for himself, he's built 3 six-figure businesses on his own. I invited Matt on after he had me as a guest in his podcast. And on that podcast, when we were talking, I found out he coaches beginning copywriters, which I don't do. Not my thing, not my jam, not good at it. My clients are more experienced copywriters and business owners who use copy. But Matt does, and I suggested he come on, and we have a nuts and bolts conversation about coaching copywriters, and he readily agreed, for which I'm grateful, since he's in South Africa, and that's a long ways away. And we've also had some technical problems, so this looks a little different than our normal Copywriters Podcast. Thanks to Matt, he's lending us his studio for this day. But anyway, we'll get into all of that after I patiently remind you that copy is powerful and you're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So, Matt, thanks for all your help in getting this show on the road. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, me too. So, I just want to start at square one. You have people, I imagine, who come in who have done no copywriting. They want to be copywriters. They have no training, no experience, haven't read any books, haven't written any copy. What would you say are the biggest weaknesses or misconceptions beginning copywriters have?
Well, I think these days there's a lot of YouTube channels. There are a lot of coaches that have introduced people to copywriting in a different way than, you know, when I got started. I think there's a lot of channels that promote copywriting as a very profitable business opportunity, and they don't focus on the writing aspect of it so much. So a lot of the people that are coming into our industry today have the expectation that they can just write a couple of emails in the Google Doc and, you know, give it to AI, AI can do the magic, and then, you know, just send that to clients and make hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, it sounds like this great deal. You don't need any capital. You don't need any, you don't need any previous experience. You don't need any tech because you're just sitting on your Google Doc. So I think many people these days come in with that that experience or that impression of the industry. And that is a little difficult for sure because, you know, they're not necessarily coming into this as, oh, I want to learn how to write something that businesses are willing to pay for. You know, it's not coming from a place of, I want to be able to write. And they're coming in with like this expectation that it's about the money only. And I mean, as you know, right, like the biggest thing about writing is that you have to love the craft and you have to really care about your work and you have to really care about the skill. So getting that expectation reset sometimes is the most important, you know, first step. And I think a lot of copywriters, or aspiring copywriters, they don't really realize that it is actually not so simple. You know, this is a very, I wouldn't say it's difficult. I would just say it's the same as anything in life that's worthwhile. It requires a significant amount of effort. You know, it requires you to actually care about, you know, what you bring to the table. And there's no free lunch. It's not get rich quick. You know, it's something that takes time.
Yeah, that's good. And I've noticed that Bizoppi layer people have put on copywriting too. And it's a scam, you know. You actually have to learn to work and produce stuff people want to buy because it helps them with their business. I was also thinking about something else. I think we touched on it. I've talked to a few people about it, and it's the fragility, anti-fragility thing. These days, maybe because I don't know why, but let's say it's because a lot of people getting into the business don't have as much face-to-face interaction experience. They live a life through screens. And so conflict is only something on Call of Duty. It's not something that they've actually experienced in real life. And all of a sudden, with copywriting, there's conflict, right? I mean, there's not only conflict in the copy, but, you know, it doesn't always go smoothly with clients. You have to negotiate. Sometimes you have to wheedle your clients or nudge them or you know, persuade them to do stuff. Have you found that newer people are having trouble with some of the human dynamics of the whole business of copywriting?
I think that there's definitely, I think clients have, because it's been framed as a get rich opportunity, I think clients are put on a pedestal where they are assumed, you assume that this is the person that's going to make everything happen for you. And all the money in the world is going to come from this business that you work with. So I think some of the bigger challenges that copywriters have at the beginning is, you know, being professional and actually understanding the value that they're bringing to a business. And not just going in there as a, I don't know, an order taker, let's just say, right? Maybe in the first few gigs that you get, you know, it's definitely important to take what they're offering you, I think, to get that practice. But that first gig that really, you know, gig or opportunity that really launches your career, the one that one requires you to definitely better understand, you know, what exactly the value is that you're providing businesses, because then you can come to the sales conversation or the interview and you can be helpful and not just sit there and because they don't have any experience, right? There's no previous experience or they don't have any previous results that they're able to use on their CV. So one of the ways that you can, you know, get around that when you don't have much experience is talking about the industry and talking about copywriting and marketing as someone that understands what you do. Then I don't find that people have as many issues with, you know, a lot of copywriters, they'll come to me and they say, oh, you know, everybody's always asking me how much money have I generated or how much experience I have with this specific project and I don't have any experience. So how do I get around that? And I say, well, you took the conversation there because you sat there on the call and you kind of just passively waited for them to ask you questions. And because you don't understand quite what you do, because no one's fully educated you on what it is, or you haven't read any of the core books or anything that's going to give you the context, they're already sensing that you don't really understand what's required of you. And that's why they're asking that question, is because they're sensing that you don't understand what you're doing yet. And so they're trying to find out, what is this red flag that I'm feeling? Let me dig into this copywriter's experience. Let me actually see if they're good or not. And then, you know, then you kind of have a bit of trouble. What I would say as well is that the copywriters that are a little bit more experienced, because what I've done as a coach is I definitely would say that, you know, many of the copywriters I coach are complete beginners, but a significant amount of them are, let's just say, in their first 2 years. So they do have a little bit of experience. And it's usually quite a lot easier to work with copywriters who have a little bit of experience. I'd say that they're like intermediate level because they've got some results. They kind of know what's required of them. They've had some previous work that they can use as a reference. And so I find it's a lot easier, obviously, to coach copywriters that do have those initial few wins, but I would still consider them beginners. And I think that many copywriters, I still consider myself a beginner in many ways too, right? Because this is a craft that you can go for, you can learn for decades, and there's still so much. I mean, all it takes is going into a new niche and there's like all kinds of new ways that you have to apply the skill.
I agree. So let's roll the clock back a little bit to when you first got started coaching copywriters. Obviously, you've had a lot of other good experience. How did you get started doing this?
So I was working with a multi 8-figure business coach, and I was in their team as a junior copywriter at first. And, you know, for a few reasons, you know, the team that we had four other copywriters in the team that were much more experienced than me and had been in the game for, I think, you know, 5 years, some of them. And for some reason, they all decided at the same time that they're going to leave. Okay. So they all decided that they're leaving. And, you know, I didn't want to let go of the opportunity because I really liked the coach and I really liked, you know, the work I was, you know, getting and the ability I was getting to be able to brag about some of the results I was generating them. So I just said, all right, well, I'm here. I'm ready. You know, put the senior work on me kind of thing. I'm ready to go for it, you know? So That was fortunate, I think, in a good way for me, because I was able to quickly get into a position where I was more of a senior in the company. That business coach had a pod or a product line that was catered towards teaching beginners how to write copy. And one of the expert copywriters on that team was previously doing like the calls per week. And so just before they left, they kind of made it sound like, oh yeah, just join us on the call, you know, just have a couple of thoughts. You know, we can use you as a case study and show people what's possible, that you were this newer writer and you came on board and look at where you are now. And so I just thought it was like this friendly invitation to be, you know, like a case study and just share once or twice. So I was like, of course, because I didn't know yet that they were all leaving. Okay. So I was like, yeah, of course, I'll jump on that. I'll jump on. And I was very, very nervous because there was 200 people on these calls. It was a significant amount of newer writers. So they were on the call, they carried the first few calls, and they would say, you know, like Matt's here as well. He's going to be sharing a few things that he's learned over the years. And it was very embarrassing, I'll tell you. I was actually I felt very nervous. I felt very awkward. In fact, the first time they introduced me on the first call, I was like, all right, let's get going, guys. And I was like, there was like silence after I said that. And it just felt like there was this extreme awkward, this pit in my stomach. I was like, oh man, like 200 people. Everybody in the company is basically aware of it, you know, and so anyway, after two or three calls, they dropped. They were saying, you know, this is, you can you carry this from now on? And I was like, you got to be joking. Are you going to carry these calls? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, but I don't really know too much yet. I've only been in the game 2 years. I don't have that much experience. And they're like, you got this. This is fine. We have so many resources on copywriting, you know, we'll help you out. And I was like, I've always had the belief that, you know, you should say yes to something and figure it out later. I think it's required of an entrepreneurial person.
Jump out of the airplane before you have a parachute.
Yeah, right. It's like, this is an opportunity. I could say no to it and I never get the opportunity to learn that skill.
So did they leave the business entirely and say, hey, it's yours, bye?
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, these guys are really good at quitting, right? They quit the job, then they quit the...
I mean, to be fair, like I think that there was a lot of like in internal politics that were going on within the company, like the management and just everything that was going on was a little bit of it's the nature of info business coaching. I think that, you know, things change really quickly. And so, you know, I think for good reason as well, they wanted out of the opportunity. They were no longer, the expectation that they had was no longer being met. So I really like them and I hold them in high regard. And I learned a lot from those copywriters. I think it was just a combination of a lot of things, the company just having a change. So anyway, I was like, okay, well, I'll take on these calls because they're beginners and I still have a bit more experience than these beginners, right? So I took on the calls and it ended up being about 8 months, 4 hours a week. We'd have 4 hour calls for 8 months. And I sat there on these calls and, you know, I would prepare material for them based on the core information, like, you know, here's how you write emails, here's how to think about how to write a landing page, here's how to write ads, here's how to, you know, think about webinars. You know, and I would say often, like, you know, these are things I'm still working on too. I'd like to keep that frame with them because I didn't want to come across as this expert where I really wasn't yet. And I would say, so here's what I've learned so far and here's what's been useful for me. And I remember I would sit and prepare slides. I had all these slides that were in the company brand, you know, that matched the brand of the company, and I'd put my copy, my headlines, you know, I would use headlines and a few bullets to present the material. And yeah, the calls would go on for 3-4 hours because that was just the nature of the way that business liked to do their coaching. They keep people on.
So this was actually part of the company that you're writing copy for?
It
was sort of under the umbrella of that. It was like mm-hmm. a copywriting division or branch or class or coaching
program. Yeah, it was like their inner circle for their copywriting program. Their copy inner circle for beginners, I guess you could say. So
were these people clients of the eight-figure coach themselves?
Yes. Yeah, okay. So they purchased, and then they purchased the upsell, which is this recurring per month. I think it was $250 a month. And so I had all these people. I had 200 people, $250 a month, learning from a guy that's barely built up the skill. But I learned very quickly. I pushed myself. I really put a lot of love into that material. And within about a month, I really started to find myself getting some momentum. I liked it. I was at least what they said. They loved it. the attendance was there the whole 4 hours. You know, we had like 200 people after 4 hours still on the call. So I was like, okay, well, you know, I mean, I guess that these guys like hearing from me. And maybe it's because also there was an element of relatability because I was newer in the game and they were also kind of new. So they felt like, okay, well, he's made it happen. And he's a little bit awkward and he's a little bit unsure of certain things and he's still figuring it out. And I think we can do it too then. And I think that's part of why they really enjoyed the, you know, the coaching. And it was incredible to actually be able to carry that for 8 months, because I really carried that entire Inner Circle material for 8 months straight with these people paying. And so that's kind of when I started to realize, okay, so these 200 people paying, this is $400,000 or something. 200 people paying $250 a month, plus they paid their initial investment fee as well. There was like close to $1 million worth of coaching that I was delivering for these guys. And so I just thought, you know what? Well, I really do love this and I really enjoy helping. And when the business decided to end the product after 8 months, I said, well, I'm going to just do this myself because I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. So when I leave, I'll do it for myself.
Did you get paid for doing this?
Yeah, I got paid pretty okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was wondering, it seemed like a lot of work for no money for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah, it was okay.
So that's a fascinating story, and I love it. And I love it for a lot of reasons. I especially love it that you were developing what you were coaching or teaching very interactively with these people. I mean, I know a number of copywriters who take everything they've learned and try and put it into a system or seminar, assuming other people are going to absorb it. But they never really have that kind of feedback. I love the fact that, you know, you had your feet to the fire and you rose to the occasion. I mean, that's a toughie, you know. This has become your own business, and it's called Email Dojo. Is that correct?
Now it's Copy Dojo. Copy for the last Dojo. 2 years. Yeah, for the last 2 years, we've been finding that the majority of the copywriters in there, they're closing deals that are more funnel related and video related and everything copy. We only have 10% of the deals from email. So I thought, well, let's just focus on copy in general.
Is the URL Email Dojo or Copy Dojo?
No, I have both, but it's Copy Dojo now. Yeah.
Okay. So what is a typical successful growth path look like when someone gets in your program? Where do they start? What are the various steps of growth? How is it all those things? What's the picture of that?
Yeah, so typically we in the dojo, there's about 100 people because a lot of it's one-to-one coaching. So I limited it to 100 at max because I'm not going to be able to give more than that to, you know, it's quite a lot of people. So we have 100 people, and the entrance, typically you need to be making around $3,000 a month to enter for the first time. So if you're making $3,000 a month, usually that's ideal if it's already copywriting. If you have some job income, I still like to see that they've got one or two projects that they've already done so that they have some sort of, you know, reference point. And then they enter. And then they enter the dojo, which is it's more of a mastermind one-on-one coaching than it is like, you know, courses and material. And then we'll go through the process of, well, we'll identify on the first call I have with them one-on-one, where is your gap? Because I find that there's two main challenges that copywriters have at this earlier stage of their career before they've hit six figures. And the first one is they don't have a reliable way to acquire new clients. That's usually the biggest problem, is that they don't know how to sell for themselves. They know how to write decent copy, you know, but they don't know how to get any clients and actually position themselves as a successful copywriter. So that's the first one. And the second one is delivering for those clients once they close them. So what we found, at first I used to teach people a lot of, you know, how to write copy. But because they didn't have very big accounts to work on to actually deliver the copy, I found that they wouldn't be able to internalize the skill as easily. So what we did over the last 3 years is we switched it to say, okay, well, majority of guys that come in to the dojo, we're going to give them the systems that they need to close clients first. And once they close one really good client, they have the confidence of myself being able to be in their corner, like a cornerman for them. And they also have the rest of the community who all have relatively decent experience too, to help them out. And so they'll close the client and then they'll apply the skill to that specific client. Because there's so many different types of copy, right? There's so many different types of businesses and niches and industries that if you just sit there and you say, I'm going to go write 50 emails to health for health, and then you close a client that's in business and wealth, it's like you've been doing all this work for free and you didn't actually get it. So I just say, well, you know, learn and earn at the same time. You get the client and we'll figure it out together. And then that's usually, I think the confidence helps. Having somebody in your corner always helps. Like I found it for myself when I was really focusing on freelancing before I became a coach. I mean, I still do freelancing, actually. I have a client right now. I closed recently, last week. But, you know, when I was doing mostly freelancing, I would just have a coach in my corner always. I'd always just have, my frame has always been, I'll take the project and then figure out the people in my network that can help me with the project on the gaps. And I'll just pay them. I even pay them the whole retainer. I don't mind. I'll pay them the whole retainer so I learn the skill, because the skill is going to stay. The reputation, the results are going to stay. You're going to be able to talk about that accomplishment forever, but the money doesn't really matter today, because that money is going to get you, it'll, you know, pay your bills, but the result will give you more clients, which is the long play, you know?
Absolutely. So let's talk about AI. What are your thoughts about where it fits into all of this, especially for beginners? And I'll tell you my agenda or my background thinking about this is there are certain thinking skills, certain judgments, certain nuance and texture you need to be aware of and be somewhat skilled at before you can let AI run rampant. Those are my thoughts, but I'd like to know, you know, how you approach it and what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I have a very similar perspective. I find that many copywriters that I mean, even last week, actually, this new client that I signed. We're working on a very sophisticated software for business to business. And I've actually hired 4 copywriters to help me with it. And the reason I hired 4 is because I fired the first 3 because they weren't able to get it. And the first 2 really did just write it with AI. I told them, hey, here's the research brief. Here's what we're looking for. I'd like you to help me with this more as an intern, you know, my junior. And it came back, the copy came back with slop. It was very, very generic stuff. It was like, I could tell that the stuff that came back was very, yeah, it just sounded like AI, you know, and you can tell it sounds like AI. And the way you can tell it sounds like AI is that the person doesn't really understand what the business actually is selling. That's what I find is usually the issue with AI, is AI can dress up words. It can make words look nice and feel good and sound something that they want it to sound like. But the idea behind all of that doesn't exist because the AI is not generating ideas. It's not rational. It's just predictive text. It's just predicting what the next logical word should be. So you're going to get a lot of words that look like copy because it's got a decent database of previous examples of copy. But none of the ideas behind those words are usually that coherent. You know, it doesn't really make that much sense. You know, like it'll say, but here's the kicker. And then right below, but here's the kicker. You'll get this line that's not the kicker. It's not anything. It just sounds good. You know, so that's what happened. Is I just ended up letting them go very quickly from that project. And I said, you know, you're relying on AI too much. You're using it. It's becoming a bit of a drug, you know, like you're dependent on this software, you know, Claude or GPT or whatever. But you're not taking ownership of the ideation, which is really what I think all copy, you know, comes back to. It's like, what is the idea behind all this stuff?
Taking ownership of the ideation. I think that's a really good phrase. And that is what a lot of people fail to do when AI isn't working. And I think that is also what people do when they're able to make AI help them leverage their knowledge and their skills. Let me ask you this. From your experience with new copywriters or beginning copywriters, what skills do you find take the longest time to develop?
I think the biggest challenge that most beginners have is understanding what actually sells the thing that they're selling. I think that's the skill that a lot of them struggle with. They don't really understand why you don't just sell directly the product. A lot of copywriters will just go straight into, oh, this product's great. It does this and does this. And they may even know how to you know, the features of the product and the benefits of the product, and they sell the product and say, well, I'm not convinced I even need the product yet. So why is it that we haven't first talked about the solution that you need if you're talking to a prospect? I mean, like a perfect example would be, let's talk about business opportunity, right? It's like you could sell a course on how to make money online. Why would they buy the course until they first believe that that business model is the right business model for them? If you're selling an Airbnb course, oh, Airbnb Accelerator, we're going to show you how to close real estate deals and make money from it. I don't care yet. I don't even know if Airbnb is for me. So a lot of the time I have to sell them that, you know, majority of the copy is about showing them this in this context. It's like, hey, you're struggling with your 9-to-5 and you see a lot of people are making money with real estate, but you're struggling to, you know, get into it because you, you know, most people think that you need a 20% down payment. You need to have a lot of money previously to get into real estate. And there's all these problems that come with real estate until Airbnb came around. And now there's a new way to do it where you don't actually have to have all that money. So you spend majority of the message selling that first in most like long form, I guess, copy, even email, right? It's like you spend a lot of time selling the opportunity, not the product. And I think that transition between getting their attention to selling the actual opportunity or the solution and then transitioning into the product, that sort of process is actually quite difficult because a lot of copywriters will go and study old school sales letters, or they'll take some formulas from a course and they'll try and fit the words into those formulas. But it's the same thing as AI then, because you're now just delegating the ideation to the formula instead of actually focusing on what are we actually selling. And that's one of the first things I learned from one of my first copy coaches, is he said, sell the thing that sells the thing. I'm not sure where that originally comes from, but I've heard somebody say that many times, right? Sell the thing that sells the thing. And so it's like, okay, so why are you not selling the thing? Why are you selling the product? They don't care yet, you know? So I think that's the biggest one. And then the second one is learning how to get attention, because there's so much copy in all these courses and there's so many examples of what a hook looks like or what you should say. And then you'll find a lot of beginner copywriters will say, like, you know, the secret to success, the secret to making money online, the secret to this, the real way to this. A lot of very, very standard lines of, you know, but the market has kind of outgrown that in many industries. Many industries don't want to hear, you know, the secret to making money online. I think everybody said that, you know. So I think a lot of copywriters have this challenge where they're saying stuff that actually is not bad copy, let's say 15 years ago, when the market's not being told that this is the secret all the time. But everybody's heard that this is the secret, you know, so they don't know anymore. So being able to understand that where your market is actually at, and how do you say something that catches their attention now, today, where they're at right now, that is, I think, very, very difficult for new writers, because they haven't even learned the skill yet to a level where they're competent. So they don't even know how to write the copy to the level where they're competent. And now they also have to go one step further and cater the message to a market that's skeptical of how copy used to look. And then that's why AI makes it even worse, because AI is using all these old tactics, and like now it's still not catering to the sophisticated market, you know?
Yeah, it's really not. I feel sorry for the hard lesson a copywriter who's depending too much on AI is going to have to learn. So tell us a little more about your program and how people can, you know,
Before we get to that, I just wanted to point out,
sure.
You mentioned, here's the kicker. I see a lot of, that's not X, that's Y disguised as X. Yeah. And you're right. AI is trained on those things that were built for a less sophisticated market, and it's just saturating content and copy right now with stuff that used to work 10 years ago, but it's being pumped out so quick now that it's just completely flooding everything, and it's making it diminish in its ability to convert faster than ever.
Yeah, there's definitely this interesting phenomenon that's happened with AI. You know, you have the industry for many years was always, you know, let's funnel hack, let's copy what's already working. And what would happen is you'd have like a funnel that's doing well, or you'd have a web page or something that's performing, and it would take 6 to 12 months for the market to sort of start modeling that, because you need this time to build out the funnel, build out the creative assets, tie it into how, you know, this specific business. With AI, you can do that within a month, With AI, somebody has a good idea, has a good message that they're using in the market. Within a month, every competitor can copy it because AI's sped up the process. So it's like what's happened now, and from my experience with the copywriters I've worked with, is every idea can be completely exhausted within 1 to 2 months. And so that requires you to really not depend on other copy that's out in the industry. And then AI is even more useless because AI is just copying the copy, the copied copy. Like it's just copying. And so then now it's like, how do you generate original ideas that are actually relevant to the people that are reading your material? And then again, being able to sell that thing and being able to create that connection. And I think it's you know, it sounds quite overwhelming, I think, but when you have good coaching, when you have somebody in your corner, I think that like the strong copy coaches that I think developed the skill, probably most of them before AI came out, I think that there's an easier way to learn how to do that when you have somebody in your corner and you're not relying on templates and courses. You know, I'm very grateful that I didn't get into this industry when AI existed. I'd written thousands and thousands of pieces of copy before AI came out, to the point where I almost don't even use it. I really don't, David. Like I barely use AI for anything besides, I don't know, information processing, large amounts of information. I don't really use it for any of my actual work. Maybe occasionally here and there for like to produce more ideas that I can play with or different ways to say the same thing, but I don't really use it that much.
Yeah, I use it, but I won't use it for the complete run of steps. I'll figure out what are the steps and what are the decisions I have to make, what is the tone I have to set, what are the parameters, the guardrails, and what parts of the next steps can AI do faster? And then I have to clean up the mess that AI made, and then I'll do my parts, and I'll say, okay, can you do this? So I use it, but sort of on a spot basis rather than as, you know, my secret ghost writer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's talk about your Copy Dojo program a little bit and how people can find out more or get into it.
Sure. I will also say that for the complete beginners that have no experience at all, I have something called Copy Systems, which is more of a packaged program where you can go through step by step every system that I've developed over the last 5 years for writing copy. And so what I actually do is all my private mentored clients, the ones I work with one-on-one, every kind of problem that we solve in every sort of industry that we're working in, we take that system, what we solved, how it worked, and I actually repackage and produce it in a way that's, you know, you can use it, and I put it in Copy Systems. And that's, you know, significantly more accessible. It's a community, and there's a course behind it. So that's the one that I would say for somebody watching that's more of a beginner, I think that might make more sense. If somebody's a beginner that's got a few clients, you know, they've already launched their career, but they're looking to increase it and increase their income. Yeah. So wait, what was your question about it specifically? Like we talked about the process, right? So.
Yeah. I mean, just the program and, you know, where to find out about it, just real basic stuff if somebody wants to know more.
Yeah. So, you know, if you want help with closing clients and working with bigger businesses so that you can get, you know, test your copy on real accounts that have, you know, like, you know, so that you can get results and use that on your CV and build up a career, just go to copydojo.com and, you know, fill in the application and we'll have a look. I do disqualify more than 50% of the people who apply, just because I think that many of them are again looking for that, like especially nowadays, right? I think the writers, the ones that like writing and like the craft, you can usually see that in the application. Whereas the guy that just wants to make $100,000 a month and has this AI dream and he's going to integrate AI with copy and build this crazy agency and all that stuff, we usually just don't bother to
I've usually found on the applications for my mentoring that when somebody says, I want to be the best copywriter in the world, they don't end up making the cut somehow. I don't know.
It's
a very glorious goal, but I'm not sure it's very pragmatic. So is Copy Systems copysystems.com? Is that how they get there, to copysystems.com or somewhere else?
Well, actually right now it's on school. Sam Oven's software platform. Yeah. So I don't actually have a direct link for it, but people can find me on Facebook, and they can just, I link everything on Facebook. You know, that's usually how I do it. So,
okay,
what is it? It's Matthew J. Forkvane. That's my user on Facebook. So you can just search my name on Facebook. I also have a YouTube channel. You could just go to copydojo.com as well. I link all my social there. And if you don't qualify, usually I just tell people, if you don't qualify, like when you go and apply, I just say, hey, go through copy systems for a few months, go and work on your skills a little bit, and then come back and let's have the conversation then. So yeah, you could just go to copydojo.com. It's the easiest way to reach me.
Sounds good. All right. Nathan, you still there?
Yep. We'll make sure to link everything in the show notes. So if you want to find links to Matthew's Facebook and to Copy Dojo, we'll make sure that that's in the show notes. You can find that over at copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. And thanks, Matthew.
Thank you.
When you have some copy and the performance of the copy is mission critical, who you gonna call? Not Ghostbusters. They don't do copy critiques, last time I checked. A lot of people, from the most advanced to the up-and-coming copywriters, reach out to me. I do copy critiques. One client, Brett Alcorn, has hired me 20 times. Yep, 20 times. That's because on the very first critique I did for him, he doubled his conversions on a video sales letter. Every month, I do a handful of critiques for GKIC members. These are copywriters and small business owners who are trained and experienced, but they need another set of experienced eyes to go over their copy to take it to the next level. One A-lister told me, I go over copy like an IRS auditor. Now, I wasn't sure whether to take that as a compliment or not, but he assured me it was. He said, I can find the one flaw or several flaws in copy that no one else was able to, and make winning suggestions on how to fix them. So when you need a copy critique, just go to garfinkelcoaching.com and click on the services tab, garfinkelcoaching.com, for a critique.